Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia fan social live show where the Cowie Army share their thoughts on all things town and we're fresh off our trip down to the West Coast. West Country. Of course, Ipswich Town drawing 1-1 with Bristol City. I'm here with two fine gentlemen who were at Ashton Gate with me in Alex and good old Bloomers. And the derby is fast approaching, but we're going to reflect on the Bristol City game. Let's start with you, Alex, first of all. Always good to see you. First time I saw you in a while down at Bristol. How are you doing, my friend, as we record this, just 24 hours removed from the game?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be talking about town again. Last time I saw you was at the Amex. Was the 0-0 draw and Delap hit the post, wasn't it? That was the last game I went to. So it was great to be at a game again, to see the boys. As I said to you yesterday, it was a team I did not recognise. I didn't know hardly any of the players. There is a feeling of real sadness that team that got us double promoted has been, you know, gutted. Obviously, it had to happen for whatever reason. But, I mean, that team I loved so much. So, yeah, it was a frenetic championship game. We'll get into it. It was mental. It was just so crazy. It's such a basket case of a league, isn't it, that we're back in there. But, great to be there. The game went really quickly. And, we didn't lose. And that's the positive to take.
Very much so. That game against Brighton, that was when Aro Mirić was not bad. He made good saves.
I think that's it. Yeah.
His peak time at Ipswich.
That was as good as it got, wasn't it? It only went one way from there. Yeah.
No, yeah, it didn't go really well. But apparently he's doing okay in Italy at the moment, which is, you know, it's good for him. But Bloomers, my friend, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good, thank you. Always nice to be on here speaking to you. It's definitely been a while.
Yes, it is. And yeah, you are fresh off playing five-a-side tonight. How did you get on?
I am. I actually wore the set five-a-side, so I'm sitting here in the spare room sweating. We lost, unfortunately. I think we actually played quite well. We played probably the best team in the league, but you guys didn't tune in to hear me talk about my five-a-side. You're here to me to talk about Ipswich. And yeah, I was there last night. And it's funny you should mention that Brighton game, by the way, Alex. That was the last time we kept a clean sheet away from home over 1 year ago. So, it's a bit of a sad milestone, really. And obviously, we didn't get one last night, so that run's been extended. Out of all the games I've been to over the years, that was certainly one of them. It's not gonna last very long in the memory, I don't think. But, you know, there are positives to take if you'd like to. There's negatives to take if you are that way inclined, I think. Yeah. That the team that will be at the end of the season, maybe by personnel or by performance, will probably be a bit different to what we saw last night. We can get into the nuts and bolts if you'd like, but it certainly didn't set the world on fire, but equally didn't, you know, cause me to think the sky is falling. It's probably somewhere in the middle, which is a boring, safe answer to say.
Yeah, but yeah, it's not a classic. It won't be a game we'll remember, although it could be a point that could be very important at the end of the season. Alex, I spoke to you after the game. You've had time to go to bed, have a working day and all that jazz. I asked you about your one word to sum up the result, and you went, is it mental, I think you said?
Mental or frenetic is the
update. Something like that, yeah. Sort of expand on that a little bit more. You've had time to reflect. You said you've had sleep. You've had a day now. As I said, right now we work second half, maybe that's half time. Potentially.
Yes.
It would have been half time. No, would it have been half time?
Yeah.
Well, no, would. Second half. It's about to kick off. Maybe it's about to kick off, potentially.
Half time now, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, though. Your main reflections on the draw.
Well, McKenna seemed he was a bit low key after the game. You could see that he was kind of disappointed a little bit. There's so much to come out of that game. If you look at the first game of the season against Birmingham. There were five different players from that team that started the season. So Ben Johnson, Ogbene, Jack Taylor, Sammy Smodix and George Hurst all started that game. So the fact that only seven games later, there are five new players in that side as well. You can see that he's still working things out. It was a three game week, wasn't it? It's a three game week. So he's made six changes last night. And as I said to you, I was seeing a lot of players for the first time, and I think a few of us were. Nunes looked really neat and tidy in the first half. I thought he was knitting things together well. My best player was Matasiwa. I thought he was really, really good. The work ethic was exceptional. Everybody seemed to be working for each other. That there was a real fight there. I thought, as we said, I thought Agpom, I didn't even notice him. McAteer was poor. I thought he was really poor. Greaves looked susceptible, although he had one great block at the near post in the second half where he got in ahead of a defender, which was crucial. But his distribution isn't great. And he kind of seems quite lax. And O'Shea seems like such a better defender than him. And I see Edmondson and Burgess out there in the world. You know, I know they've had injuries, but Edmondson's top of the league with Borough and Burgess, etc. And that he doesn't seem, he doesn't feel like an upgrade to me. I haven't been at the game. So that was just from what I took last night. That's a bit of a problem. What I feel is that when we used to play out of the back, we'd have Chaplin in them. It would get the ball and then he would do a quick switch and we'd go wide to someone barreling forward. The way we play out of the back now is much slower. It's really, there isn't that bang, bang, bang. So I'm trying to work out what he's doing. And a lot of the time we go long and Palmer now goes long. So, I mean, I won't ramble on. I'll finish up. There's more to say about it, but I'm not sure about the system tying in with the players that he's putting in there. I know there were 5-6 changes last night. Nunes looked good. Matasiwa played well. Azor, again, struggled up top because when Azon. We were playing... What is it again?
Azon, sorry.
He struggled up top because we were playing it longer and he wasn't really... It wasn't sticking to him. So what are we doing? If we are playing it long, then why aren't we playing Hurst? Davis looks like he's getting into form, doesn't he? He started the season poorly and now last night... Seeing him barrel down that wing is brilliant. And that's a real attacking outlet for us. In the first 20 minutes, we were good on the left. And we were doing things. That's where everything was coming. And in the second half, it kind of came down the left as well. The goal did. The penalty came down that side. So Davis is really huge. But we conceded a crap goal. It was a really poor goal. Such fine margins in these games. And I think, I don't know who it was that said it last night. I think it might have been Kieran. That last, when we went up the season, we would have nicked that 2-1. We didn't. City had chances. I thought Palmer did well on the one-on-one save. He couldn't have done anything for the goal, really. Palmer had a good game, I felt. I know he's hadn't come in for a lot of criticism. So we'll talk a little bit more about it. That is my overall thoughts. It was just so frenetic. No one stood out. No one. I didn't see what our plan was. We didn't really have that cutting edge. And the goal came from a penalty. We didn't have any shots in the first half, but we had 70% possession, 65% possession. Isn't that the tale of what we are about? And who's the guy to unlock it? What's the click? I think it starts at the back. And I'm wondering if Greaves is struggling. But I don't really see the system. I don't see what McKenna, but you guys see more than me. So maybe you can see patterns emerging. But I couldn't see it last night.
Okay. Bloomers, your thoughts on the six changes? Because it is a three-game week, so you always see rotation. But were you surprised to see six and the front four all completely changed?
I was surprised and I wasn't surprised. I think maybe six was quite a bit. But I wasn't surprised to see him protect, if you like, the front four that I imagine will start on Sunday. I know Kieran McKenna is quite keen to... Class Sunday is probably just another game, but he kind of shook his hand a little bit by keeping those four off the starting lineup yesterday. I think I agree with most of what Alex said. I think I certainly see a plan. I think plan A is what plan A has been for the majority of the time on McKenna. The way that he plays is kind of set in stone right now. It involves using, I mean, primarily Davis, but both wings to have someone on the overlap, you know, have cutbacks and whatnot. We're a little bit more route one than we used to be. We actually like putting some balls up top now. Certainly when Hurst is on the pitch, we tend to look for him to win some headers and flick-ons or whatever. It was an okay performance. I think I agree with what you said about Palmer being perfectly fine. He made a good one-on-one save. He's not very commanding, and that is going to annoy people because he's not a, you know, clear everything out in front of him type of goalkeeper. I think he has improved his distribution slightly. I wouldn't say it's clacky levels yet, but it's getting there. What I always just seem to think right now is it's so weird. If you gave, I don't know, two isolated performances right now from this season and one from 23-24, and you said, which team is the one that's just got promoted to the Championship from League One, and which team is the one that's been relegated from the Premier League and had 150 million, whatever the figure is, spent on it, you would think that the team that got promoted in 23-24 is the one that's just come down, and the one that we're seeing at the moment is the one that just got promoted from League One. It's so fun. Well, funny is probably not the right word, because it didn't feel very funny last night. But it's weird to see that that team that got promoted from League One was so dialed in on one another. It was a lightning in a bottle type thing where McKenna had to do very little fine tuning. Certainly didn't look like he did much fine tuning to the squad that got promoted from League One when he took the league by storm. Whether it's that teams have had, you know, you've now got almost 4 years worth of McKenna Ipswich games to build to look at and work out how we play. People have made adjustments in the Championship now and are stifling us a lot better than they did when we were in the Championship first time round. And if that is the case, which it might well be, well, then it's down to McKenna to work out how to make the improvements necessary, because at the end of the day, it's okay. It's an okay start, but it's nothing more than that. And things might just be going in the right direction a little bit, but like there still needs to be levels of improvement if we want to get to where we think we deserve to be at the end of the season. Because right now it will sort of look like we're on a fringe of the playoffs type team. And with all the money that's been and the targets that have been set and the money that's been spent, that's not really good enough. So yes, a point away at Bristol City in isolation, nothing wrong with it. Again, it's a game that I really don't think is going to live long in the memory. But, you know, come the end of the season, if that level of performance is kind of where we're at then more than one alarm bell should probably be ringing.
I think there's a couple of things there, isn't there? It's a hangover from all the changes, from losing Morsey, from losing Burgess, from losing Chaplin, from gutting that team so much. But if you look at our fixtures, Preston, Birmingham, Blackburn, Derby, Bristol City, Southampton. Okay, that was a tough game, but not really challenging, not hugely really tricky, you know. I don't think the performance levels have been particularly good across the board. I don't think we've played really, really well. Even the Sheffield United game, I know we won 5-0, but first 20 minutes of that, I felt we just couldn't keep the ball. We weren't retaining the ball. They had more possession than us. I know we went on to win 5-0, so that I'm being a little bit picky there. But it doesn't feel like we're playing very well yet. Now, we've got an international break coming up. Then we've got Middlesbrough away. So after we play Norwich, it's Middlesbrough away, and then we've got a couple of nice fixtures, West Brom and QPR at home, I believe. We don't want to lose to Norwich or draw with Norwich and then go to Middlesbrough away. I think I know he'll have more time on the training ground with the international break to get the systems in place and work out what his best team is. But I am concerned about it, definitely, because we'll be at 10 games soon. And if we haven't clicked in after 10 games, because that's normally a good cutoff point, isn't it? Where are we? Who are the players that have really ensconced their way in? You're right, Bloomers. I think his team is, he knows what he wants, isn't it? It's Kajuste and Matisiwa in the middle of the choice of two. But with Davis on one flank, you've got to have it going on the other flank. And that's, I think we've had it on both flanks, haven't we, when we've been successful? And it doesn't feel like we have it on both flanks at the moment.
Well, I mean, Davis obviously had the Championship Assist Award 2 years ago. I think he got more assists. If he didn't get more assists than any other player, he certainly got more assists than any other left-back in the league. Hmm. So, yeah, that doesn't necessarily have to come from both sides. But I think Nunez, I mean, I hear, because I don't know loads about Nunez as a player. I don't watch Norwich games, I'll be honest with you. I hear that he can play as a bit of sort of more of a forward role if required. But last night, it certainly seemed like he was happy to be, you know, one of the controlling DMs, which is fine. But Matisiwa is very similar to him in that way. I think when you have Matisiwa and Kajuste, can we just agree, by the way? I don't know why I'm asking you, Roscoe. You're probably the worst person to ask. But is it Kajuste or Kajuste? Kajuste?
I think he said it many different times. I think it is Kajuste.
Somewhere, Bono's probably not listening to this, but somewhere he's just screaming in his head because he's probably told me five times how to pronounce it. Anyways, Kajuste, sounds about right. I think he's a bit more of a better fit alongside Matasiwa, because I can see him being the one that knits the play together and carries the ball forward. He's very good on the quick pivot, which is like Morsy used to do that so well.
Well, fun fact, by the way, a bit little stat here, he's got the most successful dribbles in the Ipswich Town squad. So, you know, it sort of shows that.
Great player.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, the who's going to be the spark? I still think people are looking at, you know, the front four, and we have an embarrassment of riches. Oh,
tell me about Jack Clark. When is it going to happen for him? Is it because obviously Kieran McKenna wants to keep playing Jack Clark? Has he shown anything this season that intimates that he's going to get to a really great level?
Well, he's a good penalty taker.
He's got three goals.
The thing is, you say this, I don't think he's the first choice, because if he was the first choice, he wouldn't have started last night. I think he sees his front four in the long term. Obviously, plans can change because the jury's out on whether McAteer will start or not start. But I think you've got Hurst, Sindre, the front where Akpom played, the Akpom Smodic role is kind of up in the air, and then McAteer as well. Do you have him? You know, I think he has to learn what his front four is pretty quickly, because I don't think you can keep chopping and changing. I'm just reading some of the comments that are coming through. I don't know if you want to address them, Ross. I'm happy to myself.
Definitely. Go ahead. There's one I want to talk about. This is from Chris Flash. Melvani, and it's about actually the leadership in the group. This is what Chris say. Our problem at the moment, we are missing a leader in the team. Unfortunately, I don't think O'Shea is a right choice for captain, which is a big statement.
No one was doing that last night. I didn't see any of that. There was no, you know, like you say, that's where Morsy is really missed, by maintaining that level of that standard, that expectation, that Roy Keane level, which Morsy was at, where we just do not let the standards drop. Otherwise, someone's going to be up your backside. We don't have that in the team. That's definitely spot on. That's a really good point.
I mean, first of all, I think, like, by all means, by the way, Chris, if you're still listening, please comment back. And if he's not the choice, I'd like to know who you think is the right choice for captain. I don't necessarily. I think these are one of these things where it's like, if we're winning a few more games, no one is bringing this up at all. I think it's one of these very easy things to look at when we're not winning. It's like, oh, well, you know, who's not shouting and screaming on the... Because we're in the modern... I'll use this because I don't really like the phrase. Modern era of football. I don't necessarily think you need a shouter or whatever else. I think 90% of footballers are self-motivated to perform at a acceptable or better level. I clearly think that...
I disagree. I think the championship is a dogfight. And it really is. And when we had a leader for so long... That was such an important part of that. You've got to remember, we've not played well for not just this season, you know, and this is a cancer that you know, this is a growing problem in the team that we've been poor for ages. I know it was the Premier League and we were never really good enough to stay there, but there's pressure. What I'm saying is there is pressure on McKenna now to kind of get us clicking. We are only 3 points off third, aren't we? It's don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's dreadful at all. I'm just saying that it's a gamble when you change so much of a team. And I just haven't seen yet the shoots of optimism coming through that I want to see. But you, like I say, you guys are right there. You've seen more than me. Maybe it's just me from that Bristol City game and what I've seen on telly. But I am concerned that I don't know what our best team is.
And I don't think McKenna knows what his best team is either. But I mean, yeah, I think we're getting on to a slightly different point. But I do agree with you that, you know, with 3 points off third, people, if you'd like to be, well, I'm not saying you are, but I'm not, if you like to be all doom and gloom, you could be. If you'd like to be the most optimistic person in the world, I think you could be. I think our start has allowed anyone to look into what they like. And it is seven games. It's not a.
Absolutely. You
know, it's what?
We've got a game in hand.
Not even it's not even a sixth of the season yet. But I'd like
we were only 10 minutes from losing that game, whether the conditions were dreadful or not. If it stopped raining 20 minutes earlier, we'd have lost that game. So
yeah, completely got away with one. But you know, hopefully we'll play better in the
absolutely
rescheduled fixture. I think that I'm happy with O'Shea as captain. And yeah, Chris has said here, unfortunately, my choice has left. I would have had Cameron Burgess, but I'm not sure who else could be skipper. whether McKenna's right or wrong, and it's a decision that will be scrutinised heavily, he decided that the centre-backs that we have at the club wasn't going to have Burgess in it. And that was made very quickly. I think it might have even been the first sale of the summer. So it was made very, very early on. And we never know if Burgess wanted to go because he was told he wasn't going to get the minutes that he wanted, or he wanted to leave.
Well, he's out of contract, wasn't he?
So... Yeah, sorry, yeah, he was out of contract. Yeah.
Where is he now? Sorry, where's Burgess?
Doing really well.
Is he playing?
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, I'm happy to have O'Shea as captain. I think I don't have any issues with his captaincy. I think we'll probably not see him change his captaincy, his style of captaincy, anytime soon. And I don't necessarily think that you need a real shout, because Kieran McKenna's not a shouter, and that was never been an issue, is it? Like, when we're winning games, like, no one cares that McKenna's not a, you know, but Steve Evans in the touchline, like, giving it all joy de vivre and stuff.
No, I think I'm giving a wrong vibe about what I'm expressing as a leader. I think it doesn't necessarily have to be a shouter. It was just always an exceptionally high standards. And it doesn't have to be a shout all the time. It can just be a small word, or it can be, Morsy wasn't a screamer either. But you really knew that he was the leader on that field. You knew that he was the leader of this team. He just had a manner, as we say in New Zealand, about him. I don't see that with anybody. I don't see the big personalities and leadership there. I thought this was a bit of a leader and a strong personality, but he's had a difficult start, hasn't he? Kajust, who has the best song ever, that's the way, I like it, Jens Kajust, I love that song, that's brilliant. But I tell you what, those players coming off the bench last night, what a bench we had. What a squad there is. It just seems to be all the players are there. And surely if anybody can get it right, it's McKenna. I just really hope we start clicking soon, and then we will be okay. We'll be all right. But
yeah,
do we still think top two? I'm not so sure now. I'm not so sure.
Well, I mean, the bookies comfortably still think that we are one of the best sides in the division. I'm happy to go with them. I think it's a wide open championship. There's certainly no one that's dominated just yet with Middlesbrough and Coventry aside. They're the early pace setters.
Crazy.
They weren't the two that were fancied at the start of the season, but things can change pretty quickly. Do you still want Ross one word to sum up the result, or of these 2,000?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Your one word.
Oh, well, I've already kind of alluded to it. Forgettable, I think. Come the end of the season, I don't think many people will be remembering this one.
No, yeah, I'm sure they'll remember, like, yeah, bloody hell, I got home late that night. But yeah, I think, yeah, it's a point away from home. You take that against a good team. But yeah, it's been a pretty poor championship, though, this season so far. I'm looking at the table and,
yeah,
it's not been a classic when we were last in it. I don't know, it was just... But yeah, still early days. You know, we're 7 games in for Ipswich Town.
The three relegated sides aren't as strong, are they? We're not showing anything. Southampton are struggling. Obviously, we're seeing Leicester. So that's interesting because, obviously... The promoted guys, we were up against them when we went up, weren't we? And we were fighting against Leeds, Leicester. Was that right? Sorry. And really, that was a really strong top six, wasn't it? And it was amazing. And maybe that will emerge. But you're right, Roscoe. It's not a particularly exciting championship. And anyone apart from Sheffield Wednesday, anyone can beat anybody, can't they, really?
What's quite funny is that the... Last season, the teams that got ready in the Premier League last season put up one of the worst, like, combination of seasons there has been ever. And the teams that went up from the Championship last season that are now in the Premier League are all making a much better fist of it already by a country mile. So maybe it is that 2 years ago, we really did catch lightning in a bottle by being able to come up to a Championship where it was easier to dominate because the standard was poorer, even though... It does seem that the standard this season is lower than what it was 2 years ago. It's a conundrum, isn't it? It's a quandary.
It was a tough League One as well. Those Barnsley games were difficult. They were incredible those nights. The Plymouth games were difficult. They were incredible those nights. There was even League One wasn't it? We were, you know, when we drew 0-0 with Bristol City on Valentine's night, I said we wouldn't even make the playoffs like a dickhead. That was a tough League One as well that we fought through. But yeah, maybe it's saturation, maybe whatever. Hopefully it will come to life. But when you look at, I mean, Middlesbrough and Coventry, you wouldn't be overly worried about those, would you? They'll struggle. They'll have struggle points. No one's pulling away yet. It's there for us. It is there for us. I just miss the old team. That's all. Just sad about us changing it all, you know, so much because it was such a wonderful.
Yeah, I say that's it's anyone that was around for those 2 years, even 3 years, because the Prem for parts of it was special for different reasons. Yeah. It is going to be very difficult to come from that. You never want to be the man that replaces the man. You want to be the man that replaces the man that replaced the man. You know, you've only got to look at, like, you know, when David Moyes came after Alex Ferguson, the kind, like, it's always tough to be the act that follows. The sophomore album is always tough.
And a lot of it was out of McKenna's hands, wasn't it? I think that we lost players that he wasn't planning to lose, or situations emerged that we knew Delap was going, we knew certain other players, but he probably lost some people that he didn't want to lose. We missed out on some targets. We didn't always get exactly what we wanted in the transfer market. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, it's going to take time, obviously, and it is early in the season. I just hope we get that one big performance where it clicks. It wasn't the Sheffield United game for me, where I can see that it's really clicking. We look solid at the back.
Sheffield United were rubbish, weren't they?
Yeah, we need to look solid at the back. I am concerned. Bristol City did cut us open a couple of times last night. They did have chances.
Yeah, Sheffield United were a team that just died on their manager. Like, that was a performance that deserves to get a manager the sack.
That was bye-bye.
I mean, it's funny. Like, Sunday's important for all the reasons we'll get into shortly. It's also important because I think for just the general mood of the fans, the mood of the fans will be it's so intense anyways, with it being a derby. Like, people are going to be so fixated on this one result. But because of the way that the start of the season has panned out, a win is really going to gloss over a lot of what's gone before.
Yeah, I agree.
And a draw won't. A draw won't, and a loss definitely won't. So it's really interesting to see what it's all going to shake up like come 2 p.m. on Sunday, because it does really feel like a crucial juncture even this early in the season.
Last night, I was right at the front, kind of five rows back. And then, I mean, I was unfortunate. I was stuck with some really drunken, loud-mouthed, maybe...
Sorry, mate. I didn't recognise you.
Maybe coked-up fans. But they were effing and blinding, and I didn't really enjoy it. I've got to be honest. I mean, every club has that element, don't they? Effing this and effing that, you see, and all this, and I didn't enjoy it in the slightest. There wasn't a buzz that I can definitely feel, you know, in the fan base, that there is this waiting and seeing and hoping that it clicks, and that we are some are more concerned than others. I'm certainly concerned because I just want to see us play a little bit better over a full match, you know, and deliver over a full game.
Yeah, the big thing I want to say is that a lot of these, you know, these promotion heroes, they had a tough start to their Town career. I know some of these now have had a season, but that was in the Premier League. But there's a few that we probably were slating and going, oh, he's not good enough in League One. And then they went on to be part of that back promotion team. So
the players are there. I think he's got the players in the building, hasn't he? He's got the players on the grass. It's just a case of creating that team element, that bond, and then we can then start moving and go on a really, really nice run of 3 wins in 4 or whatever. It's just, we've had so many draws and we look a little bit shaky at the back, which is what I'm worried about.
Yeah. It's a work in progress, which I know some people hate to say, but we're only 7 games in.
Trust the process. All right, Bono.
Yeah, definitely. What we're going to do though, boys, we're going to sort of draw a line over Bristol City, because we don't really want to go too in-depth about it, because as Bloom has said in his one word, forgettable. But of course, this weekend is a very big game indeed. But before that, we're going to have a nice little bit of fun with the strike, with Alex and Bloomers going head to head, and then we'll bring our predictions, potential starting 11s for the derby at Portman Road. But yes, the 5 questions are on the Norwich game from different moments. So it sort of segues nicely on that. Play at home. But yes, first question is on Alex Maffey, of course, who's famously scored that destruction derby hat-trick. I know you were there, Alex. Bloomers, you were like 3 or 4 or something. So,
demolition derby.
Yeah, 4 years old, I was not there.
Okay, let's move on.
It's fine. But yes, of course, he scored a hat-trick in that game. But how many goals did Alex Matty score for Ipswich Town in 137 games?
How does this question relate to the derby?
Because he scored a hat-trick and...
never win.
Yeah, so I just thought it worked in a way. So, you know, because he's known, Alex Matty is known for his time at Ipswich Town for scoring that hat-trick in that 5-0 win in 98. But how many goals? So, he scored three. So, that's three for you. 137 games. The Scotsman.
He had two spells, didn't he?
No, just one.
He had just one spell, did he? Sorry.
That's right. That's all good. That's all good. That's John Walk had like three. He's now a Scotsman, obviously. But yes, how many goals then, boys? Whoever gets it bang on, by the way, gets double the points. So, it could be 2-0 up in the first question.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in paper, so you'll just have to take my word for.
Okay. Well, technically, you have to do it first, maybe then.
Yeah, all right, that's fine. I can't see Alex's thing anyway, so it's good.
You do it first.
I'm going to go 37. I reckon it's quite low.
Okay. 61. Alex is gone. Now, it ends with a 7, but it's 47 bloomers, unfortunately. So, who's closer? So, that's 10.
Me, by 2.
It's me.
I'm 14 away. Bloomers is 16 away.
I'm 10 away. 37's 10, less than 40.
Yeah.
What did you say, Bloomers?
37.
And what's the number?
47.
Damn.
Could have slipped there. I would have just gone, oh, yeah. I took your word for it.
Scrubbish. Master there.
That was the one I should have got.
That's fine. It's shot in the dark, though, isn't it? But 1-0 then to Bloomers. Question 2 is on Danny Haynes, of course, the Canary Crusher himself. Now, he's called Danny the Canary Crusher Haynes. But on his birth certificate, he's got a proper real middle name. But what is his middle name? Is it Lewis?
This is the most Ryan rough question ever.
Or Thomas.
Lewis, Ryan, or Thomas, is it, boy? It sounds really interesting there. Right, okay. Lewis, is it Lewis?
Lewis, Ryan or Thomas.
All right, okay. I'll go first then as always. Well, considering one of these is my actual first name that nobody calls me, I'll go with Thomas then.
Ryan.
Ryan. You're both wrong, it's Lewis. Question 3. Question 3, we're going to segue straight away, but still 1-0 Bloomers. Okay. Question 3 is, who set Wes Burns up for the equalising goal against Norwich in the 2-2 draw at Portman Road in the last time we played at Portman Road against them? Was it Nathan Broadhead, Connor Chaplin, or Leif Davis? Of course, Nathan Broadhead opened the scoring, then Jonathan Rowe made it 2-1 to Norwich, but then Wes Burns equalised in the second half to make it 2-2,
but who set him up? It was delayed.
Yeah, I can picture it in my head.
Yeah, me too.
One of these players did come into my mind straight away, so...
Go with your instincts.
Yeah, I think I might have to lean with that.
Alex Matthey. he's not there. He's not part of the three. Balls.
Just pick. That's not an option.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, but it was... Who's reckon?
I'll go Nathan Broadhead.
Last night, Broadhead.
Both gone Broadhead. And you're both wrong. It was Connor Chapman.
Damn! I was going to do that one. Yeah, Broadhead scored last night for Wrexham.
Yeah, he's done
well.
Yeah.
Indeed. So there we go. Question 4 is on Jonas Knudsen, who, of course, scored twice in the derby. But what is his nationality?
Oh,
long throw man.
I know this one.
Was he Danish, was he Finnish, or was he Swedish? Jonas Knudsen.
I think I know this one. I can't say that before, just in case I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, I know this one.
Yeah. Okay.
We got this one.
Okay. Just shout out, boy. I wrote that one down.
Danish.
Yeah, there we go. Danish is correct. So 2-1 Bloomers going into the final question. And it's on the boy, my old boy, Gwion Edwards, who scored.
He scored
on his only Derby Day appearance in 2018 in that 1-1 draw. You know, Paul Hurst, who was in charge, but he only played once in the Derby in that season because he didn't play in that 3-0 at Carrow Road where Paul Lambert wanted to fight people. But yes, he now plays in the National League, but for which club? Is it Morecambe, Scunthorpe United, or York City? So, yeah, he's kicking about in the National League. Good old Guion.
Just going to point out, Ross, I think it was 2017.
I've been 2018. That's 2018-19 season.
We were in League One, the 28. Oh, no. Oh, no. Am I wrong or is he wrong?
You're wrong.
Oh.
You're wrong. So there we go. That's 2019-20 season, the first League One season. 2018-19. Because Paul, yeah.
No, okay, I've got my answer. Not for the first time. You are completely correct.
I've got my answer.
Okay.
Anyways, I will go for York.
York.
Yeah, both incorrect. It's been dreadful. But Bloomers has won overall, 2-1.
It's a hollow victory.
Is it Morecambe? Yeah. Well done, Bloomers. You've done me again. No. Same thing happened about 6 years ago when I started doing this with you guys.
Yeah, I know. But there is a tiebreaker, and I'm sure Bloomers is going to be a good sport and he is going to gamble.
Of course.
So, now, big question is, now you've got to get a bang on, take the crown, Alex.
Okay.
And that is, how many goals have been scored in the derby at Portman Road in 48 league home league games? How many goals have Town scored?
Oh, so just Ipswich goals?
Yeah.
Not total goals.
Ipswich goals.
So we've played them 48 times at home, yeah?
In the league.
Okay. At home. Right, okay. Remember, we used to boss it, didn't we? So for a long time.
I will go 120.
No, that's completely wrong.
That's too high.
What did I think? I've got the 5-0 in my head, that's why.
83.
Ooh. Oh my God, that's so close. 85.
Oh, so close.
Well,
a late run there is nice. At least I've completed.
That was very close. 85, 83, very close indeed. Bloomers has won overall. And we want a speech, my friend. And that is you've got to segue it nicely into the Derby Day preview, because we're obviously doing the first Kings of Anglia Derby Day preview. My friend, speech.
Yeah, that was the most hollow victory of all time. I will take another absolutely disgraceful, disgusting, narrow victory on Sunday. There you go. How's that for a segue?
I love it.
Absolutely agree.
Definitely. Boys, it's obviously it's been a tough 16 years. Ipswich have not beaten their arch rivals Norwich. Although in those 16 years, we've not been in the league. You know, the same league, have we? We've been obviously sadly in League One for 4 years.
Yeah, but I mean, 10 games or whatever it is doesn't sound much better.
No, I think it's 14 in total. And I think there's eight defeats, six draws. But Alex, have you got any sort of East Anglian derby memories? Anything that's personal to you? I know you said you were at the 5-0 in 98, but anything else?
I'll be quick, but I don't know where to start because I was born in Norwich. I was born in Norwich. I was born in Norfolk. I left when I was 11. But I chose Ipswich when I was 7 years old. Norwich were never in the frame. You know, you don't choose your team; your team chooses you. So, 1985, Radio Two commentary. Steve Bruce, second leg, semi final with the header. Oh God, that was painful. I was 10 years old. In the first leg, Mitch Davray got assaulted. Basically, we won the first leg 1-0. That was the most painful of the lot, semi-final of a Wembley Cup final, losing to Norwich. Then the Eddie Yards, Gary Megson, own goal. I was there for that. That was my first derby with my dad, who's a Norwich fan. That was brilliant. That was at Portman Road. The 2-0 that was live on Sky.
Your dad's a Norwich fan?
My dad's a Norwich fan, yeah. He goes. But he's not obsessed like me.
How do you tell him that? Yeah, I'm going to support it. It's not Norwich.
I just did what I wanted. The 2-0 when we beat them in the Premier League the first time in 92, Kiwomia and Mickey Stockwell. I watched that live on Sky when I lived in Merthyr, and that was wonderful. Kiwomia doing the old, you know, they used to do that celebration. The demolition derby, which I was there and I ran on the pitch. Most recently, they're all pretty forgettable, especially the playoff semi-final under Mick McCarthy, where Paul Anderson scored in the first leg, and I thought we might edge it, but we didn't. And then, of course, the Jimmy Bullard cracker when we lost 5-1, when Jimmy Bullard scored a 30-yarder from the top draw. But it's been so painful. But I do have those beautiful memories, the 2-0 first Premier League. But that 1985 semi-final, listening to it on the radio, listening to Steve Bruce come in the middle in it, in a game that we never should have lost, that was painful. But a win Saturday would make a lot of it go away.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, Bloomer, sadly, in all our times, we've not seen many. Have you ever seen Ipswich win? I've only seen top two.
Yes, no, I have. Yeah, my memories are a lot more modern, which means they're a lot more painful. But the first season back in the old Division One in 2002-03, when Kunyago equalised in the last kick of the game, that was special. Because I remember I was in Block JJ of the Britannia with my dad. I think that would have been the first derby I'd have been to. And I remember the roar when Kunyago bundled it in was unlike anything I'd ever heard. I think up until the stadium improvements a couple of years ago, that stood as our record home attendance all-seater. So that was a special day. It's funny, the Haynes hand of God goal, I was jumping around my living room for that one. And then the back-to-back home wins we got, I think, at the end of Magilton's tenure. It's funny, it's because I remember them so distinctly, and I mean, I was just turning 18, I think. And so if anyone would have told you then, like, what would then transpire to happen over the next decade and a bit, I don't think many people would like to believe you, but probably wouldn't have believed you. Mm. And yeah, it's funny. It's, well, I think we'll come on to this a bit more. I'll explain my thought process in a bit, but it sticks in the craw that what's happened over the last however long has happened. And for me personally, it's just, a win would kind of draw a line under that whole Marcus Evans, League One, banter era, all that shit that happened. I think this is the one thing where it would exercise a lot of demons and basically the club moves on. I think this is just the one. And again, like, people can look at this and go, oh, you know, like, so pressed up about Norwich or whatever. But like, it would be pointless to play it down as a fan. I mean, if you're giving the team talk, I would completely go the other way. But as a fan, just talking about the game, it's clearly something that's very personal to Ipswich and Norwich fans. Otherwise, they wouldn't make such a big deal of it. So I do really think that a win, when it comes, because it will come eventually, and today, sorry, Sunday, there's no better time to do it, will really go far to exercise those demons. And just as on a personal note, because we all seem to have it now, people that don't know, I got married in May last game of the Premier League season. And my now sister-in-law, her boyfriend is a Norwich fan, and they live just overlooking Carrow Road, just over the river. And yeah, we've had our backs and forths since the season started. And yeah, you're always nice to put one over on them. And even better now, a chance to put one over my own family. So yeah, bring on Sunday.
Yes, bring it on indeed. And yeah, like, this feels like a different build up to the last one, because, you know, we were in the run, you know, the run of the season where it was in December. We were obviously riding high. We're all like going, what is going on? We're bloody in top six of the championship. And we dominated that game. We should have won, but Nathan Broadhead just couldn't score until we did score. And then we ended up drawing that 2-2, and then we obviously lost at Carrow Road. Alex, yeah?
I think what's interesting is that obviously it's huge to them. They've got this number on us that they always talk about. But McKenna resting six, I think that's interesting too, that he really did put in cotton wool certain players, that because that Bristol game was important. But I think McKenna will really get them going. I think he knows, he gets it, he'll get it now, that this is big for us. Not just to get the monkey off our back of this run that they're on, that it's done. And then going into the international break, I think he'll have them right up for it. Norwich is still one down. I've got it on here. They're absolutely, they're dreadful. But we're not great either. But the Nunes element, I guess Nunes won't start the game. Like, you know, I guess they won't bring him on. They won't start with him, I'm guessing. You guys will know more about that because it'll just be too much of a problem or an issue for him. He'll be too distracted. But I think McKenna is aware that this is, I think we're all just kind of, there's a lot of dread for us. I'm dreading it. And we just want it, the monkey gone, the monkey off, you know, they can beat us at Carrow Road. I just want this done. I want this record just so that they can.
Yeah. I'm the same.
That's all they've got on us.
Yeah. I'm exactly the same as you. I think you look across those 16 years, there were times where we were in the same league, but we were operating in almost different planets, especially the end of that Marcus Evans era.
Yeah.
Things were awful. I remember that 3-0 under Lambert. Like his whole game plan got screwed after 3 minutes because we conceded so early on. But like, he basically just went there to try and settle personal grudges and, you know, result be damned. And looking back on it, was hilarious. Like, it wasn't fun at the time because I haven't missed an away derby since 2014. I think I've been to every single one. So when we do this preview for the away game, it'll be even even more for me. But right now, off the field, we're in a much better place. On the field, in theory, we're in a much better place.
Yeah.
You know, the two squads don't compare us to what they used to. I mean, you might say they possess one of the best strikers in the league. I certainly wouldn't argue with that. But other than that, like, you look at our squad and you think, yeah, you know, happily give them a game and be worthy favourites to win.
Yeah.
And it's funny because any team coming here that had that squad or where they are on the table, everything else, the performances they put out, if they weren't called Norwich City, you would treat this like we treated the
thing. There's a psychological warfare going on there.
There is. And as fans, it's great to get all wrapped up in this. That's fine. So when you say about McKenna riling him up, but like getting them fired up, I think he will do that. But I also think that it's important for him to be the level-headed man he has been, because if they treat it as a game like Portsmouth, then, you know, and we put in a good performance, we should win the game. There is I always talk about bookies because it's my profession. There's a reason we are clear favourites to win this game. It's not just being picked out of the hat.
But it goes out the window for us for the last 10 games.
And it has done.
It doesn't matter because they've just got us. It was like the game when we got promoted. It was a terrible game.
It was.
We didn't create anything. It was just a horrible, nasty, crappy game, which is what they're going to want on Sunday.
Yeah.
If
you're a player and Kieran McKenna, you do have to treat it as another game because the psychological aspect just drags you down like an anchor.
There's no players with a lot of scars there, are there? There are a lot of players who are carrying the same baggage.
That should, in my opinion, work to our favour. Of course, you've got Nunes, and you've got a few of the boys that would have played in that game. Obviously, Davis would have played in that game.
Just Davis.
He's fine. Kajustid doesn't matter. I mean, Hurst hasn't got the history. Our back four hasn't got the history. None of them have. Yeah. So it's, you know, again,
And Harry Clark's still knocking around, so they do want him to know like what it means. They do have a few people.
Harry Clark, there's a name. Bloody hell, I forgot about him.
But yeah, like, I mean, this is it. I mean, we've just got to play our game, as difficult as that will be, because I do think, I agree with Alex, that Norwich's blueprint to win is you've just got to look at some of the performances that teams have played against us already this season. Bristol did a good example of it. I didn't see the Preston game because I was at a wedding. But from what I've heard, Preston did a fantastic job of nicking that goal and then just being defensively solid. But this team, Norwich aren't defensively solid. They somehow nearly kept a clean sheet against Coventry, even though they absolutely battered them for 90 plus minutes.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think they got a clean sheet against Blackburn. They went down to 10 men, I think, as well. So other than that, I don't think Norwich have kept a clean sheet. So
they're not happy. The natives are restless.
We've only kept one clean sheet this season as well. So when we get on to predictions, I can tell you already right now, I do think there's going to be goals in this game because when you look at both teams' defensive records at the moment, and it's very difficult to argue against that. And there's other stats that I'll bring up as well.
Yeah, of course we'll ask predictions because that's the perfect way to sort of sign off this podcast. As we get into that sort of close to the hour now, and I know Bloomers probably wants to have a shower as well because I'm sure he's been sweating in that seat.
I've kind of forgotten about that now.
Did anybody ask you there any comments or anything about
Alex? It's one question. It's one comment from George, who he's gone for a 3-1 win. He's gone Kip Ray to score, so I don't know if he thinks he's going to start or come off the bench and score, and then Philogene
Greaves. He'll drop Greaves,
He drops Greaves there. But yeah, been a long-suffering season ticket holder. I haven't seen us beat Norwich. Please do it for us, lads. I'll fall to my knees in happiness if we can do it this Sunday. It means so much to us. And yeah, it does mean a lot. And yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of Town fans who are going to be at that game who have never seen the Town win because there's a new generation.
Most of us are very rational. Well, the ones that in our group anyway, about Town. And we don't have that obsession with Norwich that a lot of fans do. I don't particularly care for Norwich. Either way, you know, they can get on with whatever. I don't hate Norwich. I haven't got time for that kind of hatred. I don't like them. I'm desperate for us to win. But it's because of the history and it's because of the run that's gone on for so long. That's the only reason why this, to me, I'm so nervous about it. It's because they've got this number on us and they go on about it all the bloody time because it's all they've got. And I just wish I wish we could take that away from them. But obviously going into the international break with Middlesbrough away straight after the break, 3 points now to get us into that top six would be a real fillip and would give the team a real boost as we go into that crucial part of the season before Christmas, which is where everything needs to come together and we need to be right by then. So yeah, it's big for a number of reasons. And I know the noise will be great and the atmosphere will be fantastic. Yeah. Sad I'm not there.
Yeah. The funny thing is it's like you would call them a bogey team if they weren't our rivals. Because it is a bogey team.
You can still call them a bogey team, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
It's an accurate description.
But for years, we had the number on them, didn't we? Pre-you gentlemen, and just pre-me, pretty much. We dominated them and we battered them. And then 85, that semi-final, which I listened to on the radio when I was 10 years old, crying. That was the turning. That was kind of a turning point where the ascendancy changed and they got to a Wembley Cup final off the back of an Ipswich game. Because pre that, we were the dominant side.
So,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, well,
it's on
boys.
It's on ITV, so the world can see the Old Farm Derby, which I'm sure they call it.
Old Farm Derby.
Old Farm Derby.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, that's what they used to call it, didn't they?
I hate that stupid with passion.
That's really bad. But yeah, boys, what do you reckon then? Score predictions.
3-0. 2-0.
2-0. Bloody hell.
Yeah, an early goal and a late goal.
Okay. All right. Well, Bloomers, it looks like you're disagreeing on that. You think there's going to be goals?
Yeah, I think there's going to be goals. I mean, there's nothing that's shown to me. I mean, I know the Sheffield United game, we kept a clean sheet, but like the defensive frailties there are worrying for me. And this is a really bad stat, so sorry about this. Can you tell me the last time... Actually, you might as well have had this as a question on the strike. Can you tell me the last time Norwich City didn't score a goal in the East Anglian derby?
Oh, bloody hell. It must be in the 2000s, potentially.
Was it the 5-0? Is it the demolition derby?
It was the 5-0 in 1997.
Hey, that's a point. Right, we put that on the strike, please. That's, thank you.
At home, do you mean?
No, it's full stop. 20 something games. Last time Norwich.
No, we beat them 2-0 in away from home. Wilderness and Bench scored.
Oh, sorry, I am on about the home game. Yeah, sorry, my mistake. It's last time they haven't scored at Portman Road, 1997. It does make me scared. I have to go with my heart in this because it's a derby game. If you can't as a fan enjoy these occasions.
They're a bit blunt, mate. They're not creating anything here against West Brom. I think we can keep them quiet.
This is it. I mean, look, it's very good that we're having this podcast on Wednesday because I can be a bit more rational about the game. I'm going to be a nervous wreck come Sunday. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not going to be. I am obviously desperate for us to win this game. If we play our game, I am confident we'll win. Whether we play our game or whether we get allowed to play our game, I don't know. The referee needs to be strong. I have no idea who it's going to be. The name's probably out there already. We have not had good referees all season. I mean, you could say this any season.
We've not had good referees
all season. We need to have a good one on Sunday. It's going to be. It's going to be difficult for him. I don't think it's not going to be. But
so we're going to win. Then is that your prediction?
Oh, sorry, I didn't even get to it. Yeah, I'm going to put my head on the line. I'm going to say 2-1. I think we'll go 1-0 down. I think we'll get an equaliser just after half time. and then pick who you want your hero to be, and then it will happen. If you believe it enough, it will happen. I was in the talking about memories. I was in the away end when under Mick's ill-fated last derby game, we. We went 1-0 up in the 90th minute, thanks to Luke Chambers. And in my head, the game just stopped there. Because that was the most painful one that I've had. Because, again, in the grand scheme of things, it meant nothing because both teams were rubbish that season. But it would have got the monkey off our back 8 years ago or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't still be talking about this.
And we got McCarthy abusing us as well.
That was wild. So yeah, I'm gonna go 2-1 us. And yeah, it's gonna be a great day, a nervous day, and touch wood, we finally get the monkey off our back and we can look on to bigger and better things because again, like this is the one thing, everything else, size of the club, you know, size of the fan base, the stadium, the history, everything. We have absolutely everything on them apart from at the moment this one thing, and this one thing can be eradicated in 4 days' time. And let's hope it does.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, going to be a big one. Looking forward to it. What's your thoughts on the bus group, by the way, boys, as we wrap up quickly? Just your quick thoughts on it. Because a lot of people say, oh, it's been overdone. It's been done before. But it's never been done with this new crop of players.
What, sorry?
The bus group where, you know, the fans with the flares and all that stuff, blue action.
So you know how they did coach greets for the Norwich game 2 years ago and for the Huddersfield game? There is something similar in the works for Sunday.
Yeah,
it's not for me. I think you know we're bigging it up. I think really, really big games, they deserve it. I think when we're going up or we're getting promoted or whatever, I think now 7 games in, let's just keep it low key for me. Get the job done and not do that hype. Not put that in their players' heads. Not, you know, fly everything at them so that they. It's just another. McKenna will be saying to them, this is just another game, because he doesn't need to say to them, it's not just another game, because they know, the players know, the club, generally, they'll understand, they're professionals. So we don't need to be hammering it home, especially when we haven't beaten them for so long. But great. I mean, the support is there. The support will be there either way. You know, the blue flag, everything. I'm not sure. I don't think really we need that, but.
Yeah, I can really understand why it's happening. I you know, and again, my comments earlier.
It's not intimidating, is it? It doesn't scare Norwich, does it? It doesn't make them think.
No, of course not. But I also don't think it affects our. I don't think it affects our players either. I think as my comments earlier, as a fan, this is a game that you look for at the start of the fixture calendar coming out, and you get excited for. The only reason I wouldn't do it, and I'm by the way, I'm not going to it. The only reason I think you shouldn't do it is kind of what Alex said. It's like you're setting yourself up for a fall. It's exactly what happened 2 years ago. Nothing to do with the player. Like I don't think it had anything to do with the result either. But it, as a fan base, it allows you to get laughed at if you don't win.
Absolutely.
And it's a game of football. Anything can happen. There can be a red card in the first minute. Absolutely. You know, anything can happen. So you are running that risk of having a bit of egg on your face. I think the Huddersfield game is different. I think I can completely understand that more.
Yeah,
I mean, totally. Surely, the odds, we were very, very, very heavily nailed on to get promoted. And obviously we did.
And it's not something we've done before. And it was wonderful when we did it. It was atmosphere. It was absolutely incredible. It was amazing.
And again, I understand why we did it 2 years ago. And for the exact same reason, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I'd have said exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, each to their own. And what will action do for... the vast majority thing is incredible. Like they are brilliant, and I don't want to take anything away from them and the efforts they make to supporting the team. But that's just my.
What do you think, Roscoe?
Yeah, what do you think?
You
get some good footage out of it.
Yeah, good footage and all that. But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe the one
early.
Thing. Seven games in. I know it's a derby, but do it in the ground. Just do something amazing in the ground. You know. TIFOs and all that stuff. Maybe they've got that plan, but I don't know. I think, I liked it for the Exeter game because it was just something a bit different. And then, the Huddersfield game was just incredible, but the derby, not really for me.
We need to stop bigging this up as well. It does need to be, it actually needs to be dialed down because psychologically, we've actually played poorly in these games. There's been a mental block. There certainly was at Carrow Road. And at 2-2, we were tight and we didn't take the chances that we had. We had so many chances in that game, didn't we, that we should have won at home last time we played them. when Burns scored. We should have won that game. But
we didn't, all right.
We felt there was a tension in the team, and we actually need to lower that. And like I say, with new players in the squad that haven't had that history, hopefully that will be there, because you still boss it. Davis will bomb up and down, and we'll get on top of them, and we'll get an early goal.
I have not nightmares, but I'm very worried about Josh Sargent. He's a fantastic player.
Absolutely, yeah.
Arguably the best striker in the division. If they can get him service,
he's a great chance.
I'm amazed. I mean, his record in the derby is actually, I don't think he's scored in the derby yet. Shouldn't have said that. This will get clipped.
Oh, now. No. Blue as well.
He's a great finisher, and he's a real problem. We
have fantastic players too. You know, Philogene's in a great little rich vein of form. Hurst is scoring. Jack Clark is there for penalties if we get one. It's also up to be a grandstand game, and
Norwich are losing with
Norwich check still 1-0.
They just had a header 5 minutes ago that was saved right on the line. Bit of huffing and puffing, but West Brom still 1-0 up.
Yeah, they've had more everything. They've had more possession, more shots on target. They are giving it a go, but
doesn't matter, does it, mate?
They're at home. That's what you should be doing at home. So
it's not the number that counts.
No, it's the goal and stuff. But I don't know. I just hope it's not a boring game.
It won't be, will it?
That Portsmouth-Southampton stinkathon was awful.
The goalless draw, weren't it? So that's what I've got in my mind right now. I know it's going to be a 0-0 draw, and it's just like going to be like one shot, and it's like there'll be no yellow cards, no red. It will just be a boring game. That's what you want to see in a derby.
When was the last 0-0 between Ipswich and Norwich?
Another one. Here we go. I was just
going to try and find it. See if
What is worth thinking about is they'll lose. Oh, hello, he's in. Oh, what a save! Oh, West Brom just got away. Norwich should have scored. That was a sitter.
We've turned into Soccer Saturday so gradually. Sorry, I didn't even notice.
What we've got to remember is they'll lose. If they do lose this tonight, they're going to be their fans are going to are jarred off. They're jarred off anyway. If they lose tonight, they're going to be coming on Sunday really, really desperate.
Like Manning, if he doesn't get a result,
they'll be under pressure, Manning, if they lose to Ipswich. So, again, it's a massive game for them. It's really big.
1999, the last 0-0 between the two. Wow. Carrow Road, April the 11th, under George Burley. Yeah. I have no recollection of that one. I was only, 6-7 years old.
I wonder how they'll set up and if they'll come at us or if they'll just, we'll see. We'll see. But injury time now. But God, they should have scored a minute ago. But yeah, still 1-0 West Brom.
So do you want to wrap this up now, Ross, or do you want to carry on until the end?
I'm gonna wrap this up now because I think this will go out as an audio podcast on Thursday. So whoever's listening to this right now, you know the Norwich result. And but thanks so much, Alex and Bloomers, for joining me. Bring on the derby. If you are going to the game, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy it as much as you can. But if not, follow Courage Us. We'll be there, of course. I will be bringing you another live show with AJ, Stu and Heathie as well. So tune in for that on Friday night. But thanks again for listening and watching the Kings of Anglia Fan Social. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.